from the time that they pronounced me dead was a good 45 minutes.
They cut my clothes and then they paddled my heart, because my heart had stopped. And I could see people screaming and crying, but I didn't realize that was actually my physical body because I was somewhere else.
The only thing that I could feel, if you could imagine, absolute love and peace. There wasn't anything else to be felt.
I was greeted by people I'd known in the past.
I'm back home again.
Incredibly safe and felt at home.
Welcome, welcome everybody, and welcome to our special guest, Sean Cubs Jacobs. We're just going to call you Cubs. Tell me where that nickname comes from.
So my mom used to call me her boy cub or cub. It's from the Jungle Book. And then, when I was starting this music project before, I had this big hit song that moved me down to LA. I was trying to think of a name. I wanted it to be as close to me as possible. And then that just came up. I have a boyishness about me, so I wanted to keep that alive as long as possible. I decided to spell it with a V and a Z instead of a U and an S, because that was kind of popular at the time to do, and I didn't want to get mixed up with the Chicago Cubs, but I really shot myself in the foot with that. It's too late. The merch's made. I'm here.
You don't look like the Chicago Cubs. You're okay. Before we talk about your NDE, take just a second. Tell us about your music.
I make pop, electronic, kind of dance-leaning music. It is described by others as soulful and yearning, which is perfectly describe what my life has been, particularly in the search for fulfillment and the connection to the divine. And it has come in a lot of different ways. So since this experience, most of my integration of the NDE phenomena that I experienced was through music. You know, my first song back from this was called Life Again, and all of the music has kind of just been about awakening and rebirth, just packaged in contemporary electronic pop.
So if anybody wants to hear your music, where do they find it?
Just CVBZ on any and all platforms. My Instagram and TikTok and all that is just CVBZ, and then it'll be the first one hopefully that comes up, because I didn't go with CUBS. The Cubs will be the first.
All right, the music sounds cool. I've actually heard a little bit of it. And you might think I'm an old fogey, but I liked it. I really did.
You're a whippersnapper if I've ever seen one, man.
Whippersnapper with grandkids here.
Yeah, that's right. As long as you're whipping and snapping, and never dies.
All right. So we often, when we're talking about people's NDEs, you know, if it's a car accident, we'll talk about all the details of what happened and stuff. There are reasons why we can't do that tonight. So I'm just letting the audience know. We're telling you all we can. But let's go ahead and jump to that day where your experience started. This was just not even 3 years ago.
Yeah. So it was November 17th of 2021. I'll just take you to the moment. I was lying on the floor of a floor, and I was experiencing breath and heart issues. You know, there was just this moment that went from like, what's going on, to like, oh, what's going on, to oh no, this is what's happening. And then the experience ensued. With or without me.
This is Cubs inside the body, feeling all the regular things, you know, that we feel from that perspective. Was there a moment later when that changed?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. There was a moment where there was no body, and then eventually there was no memory or conception of what a body was or could be. So
explain
for it.
What does that mean?
So I believe that where I went was what I've later been told is described or named the Brahma, the Brahman. I experienced the plane of non-duality, of singularity consciousness, of the united Godhead of all. In this place of timelessness, of no words, no sensations other than love, there was no memory of me anymore. But this was, you know, into the experience. So I can walk us back and get there.
Yeah. If you want. Start from the beginning. Go from first to last.
So there I was having this experience, and the panic began to set in of, you know, just my heart racing, my breathing, not the mechanism of my lungs not responding like how they were supposed to. And then there was this moment of like, oh my gosh, this is happening. My vision started to cave in from like a faded black vignette, you know, into a small tunnel, basically. And then, of course, from that tunnel came a source of light. And I wouldn't say that I got closer to the light just got closer to me. Like it was happening, whether or not, you know, I've heard some of these stories of people choosing or not, but yeah, it was imminent.
Yeah, some people feel like they're traveling towards a light or actually see it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of interesting. It was the reverse of that.
Well, I certainly was not going willingly. So I was in panic. I was in absolute resistance. So it was like, this is happening, buddy. We'll come to you. God will come to you. There were a multitude of sensations and perspectives that were occurring through this. And the hardest part about trying to describe this, besides the inherent ineffable nature of what I'm embarking to describe, there was just multiple things happening at once. So my mind was racing at a million RPMs. I was having thoughts and memories swirling around me like a tornado, pretty much. And this brought on what I guess the Bible would call judgment or a life review. So I essentially relived all of my memories in like the most rapid fashion you could conceptualize. And I got to not only experience my life, but I also experienced these memories from the other perspective. So it wasn't visual. I wasn't like in my mom's body watching me say like, screw you, mom, you know, like, I just could feel the screw you, mom, from my mom's heart. There was nothing left unsaid and undone to me about my life after that. I experienced the impact that I had on people for better or for worse. And not only people, but like the vibrational matrix of the earth plane. Not only the earth plane, but the spiritual plane, like what my thoughts and feelings, what kind of, I don't want to say karma because that's judgy, but yeah, what kind of frequency I carried and how that affected the fabric of reality.
Okay, let's stick with this life review topic for a second.
Yeah.
Before we move on. I want to dig deeper because this is interesting. It almost sounds like you realized that everything you did affected something or someone else, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In addition to people, you mean? Like
yes.
Plants, birds. Give me an example.
Like peeing on rocks. Like rocks don't really care. You know, they're rocks, but it's not great. You know, like it didn't upset rocks, but like it just wasn't, I could have peed elsewhere, you know? And again, looking back at this from the perspective of the place that I went and the healing that took place for me, it was all perfect. It didn't really matter because I was supposed to say, screw you, mom, and pee on that rock and, you know, be unkind to this girlfriend or lash out at this person. It was all supposed to happen. It was all perfect.
So I don't know if you noticed, you've named all negative things. I'll bet you did positive things too. Did you get an idea of what the positive things did and what the reaction was?
Yeah. I mean, so the main takeaway from my life, and I think this is just important to say, I experienced this life review, all of these sensations as negative at first because I was in resistance. I was clinging to life. It was no, this is bad, everything's bad, it's all. Not only that, but I kind of started like down this paranoia spiral of like every moment and every person I've met that has introduced me to the person that introduced me to this person that got me to this place to have this accident. And it has all been like this ruse to like kill me in this moment. There was this moment right after that where it was just despair and hopelessness. And, you know, it was an echo of a feeling that I do carry through life. When things go wrong, I'm like, oh, where's the justice? Where's God? There, you know, like whatever. Like, and there was a moment where it all flipped. And it was like every single person that introduced you to every person that got you to here, to this room, to this this accidental moment where you, they were conspiring. They were conspiring to free you. And then when I had that notion, there was this one last flinch of clinging where I knew that my earth Sean hands were just reaching, like, somebody, please. And then this voice came through, and the voice was very calm, dull, yet commanding. And it said, surrender to the experience. Sort of. That's at least how I interpreted the download of this message. And once I did that, I remember this feeling of release of my hopes and dreams and loves, failures, triumphs, the release of all of the beauty and the perfection and the love that I've experienced in my life. And it let out of me like a sigh into eternity, just, and that. And that sigh carried me through this river. And that's the next part.
Okay. Don't go there yet. I have more questions already. Come on. Do you have any idea? I mean, you've had some time to think about this now. Do you have any idea what was the purpose of that life review? Was it to thrash you for the things that Cubs didn't do right? Or was it a learning experience? What was the purpose here?
Yeah, it was learning to know thyself, to love thyself deeper. So the other thing is to, like, you know, neurologically, neurolinguistically, whatever, like, the body keeps score and the brain, the unconscious mind houses all of what we are, all of our experiences, all of our decisions. You know, the conscious mind, they say, I'm not sure how they measure this, can compute 126 bits per minute, right? The unconscious mind is 2 million, I think. Yeah, so the mind keeps score. Even if you think you're over something or if you've forgotten something, everything is housed in the unconscious mind. It is essentially a supercomputer, a godlike supercomputer with the judgment of a 7-year-old, essentially, that issues prime directives to your body, to your mind. It controls your awareness and the way you perceive the world around you. So that's a lot. A life is a lot of moments. And if you're going to let that go, like, you got to take the trash out. Because where I was going, I wasn't able to bring anything here with me.
What emotions were you feeling as you're experiencing these things again?
So over these past couple of years, I've had to research and find ways to help explain this. There's the Hawkins scale of consciousness, you know, at the bottom, at the lowest level of vibration, there's shame, guilt, and, you know, anger, fear, paranoia, all that stuff. And then it goes to acceptance, which is neutral, and then courage, and all the way up to love, joy, everything else. So I essentially climbed Jacob's ladder through this experience, through these memories, through this clinging, the paranoia, the fear, the shame. But that's only the first half of it. And then once you get to like, okay, well, I effed up, I'm dying. So then it's like, but then what did we do? How did we love? When were we brave? You know, and like that, you climb all the ladder all the way to heaven, you know. And not coincidentally, but the top of that ladder is love, and that's all heaven, the afterlife, the Brahman, it's all it is, God.
Absolutely. This still cracks me up that you went kicking and screaming. The it's so typical for people once they've left their body to be like, oh, okay, done with that, moving on, that's cool. And yeah. I love hearing so many different aspects of these NDEs because they are certainly not all the same. And I love people to just open up and be honest and, hey, mine was different and yours is going to be different. Let's get back to the voice for a second. What is your impression of who or what the voice was?
So at first it was like, because I mean, it sounded like, there's no uncreepy way to do this. It sounded like
surrender to the experience.
You know, it was like very like,
well, that does sound creepy.
Yeah, there's no uncreepy way. And so I'm not going to sugarcoat it, but it was humbling, commanding, comforting, and the most relaxed voice I've ever heard. Like, you know, so yeah, part of me could have taken it like, that's creepy. That sounds like something that's in a weird movie, but it's also like, how many more judgments are you going to take with you in this moment? Like, are you trying to tack on another judgment? You just dumped a bunch.
And when it said surrender to the experience, that could be taken positively or negatively. I could be taken like, hey, dude, just give up. Or it could be, hey, really go with it. This is going to be wonderful. Relax and go with it. Is that the direction it was going?
Yeah, but again, it's how I took it. So this is like, these are non-verbal, non-phonetic conversations. Anything that's happened from this point on in the story, it is a download, which feels more like an upload from nowhere. So that's how I took it in that moment. But I think it's important that it came through that way, brother, because I don't surrender to anything. My life has just been yearning for one thing or the other, kicking and screaming when it doesn't come to fruition. Most of my spiritual journey before this point has basically been a means to an end to have or to achieve. So I realized, like, I had to reconcile that I was given gifts and I was given a really big life and a really big life mission. And, you know, maybe the review wasn't so great because I didn't live so great, perhaps. Like, they say you live how you die, or you die how you live. I'm certainly a nice, smiley person, but if, you know, I was never satisfied then or present, then I'm not going to be that when I'm hitching a ride out of town.
Yeah, we're not going to suddenly just change personalities, are we?
Yeah, especially in a critical moment like that. And so upon passing over in the final sheddings of the Sean-ness, I for the first time got to feel full surrender. And it was incredible. And I try to close my eyes and I have this anchor that I set in my palm where I try to press it and reactivate that feeling, because I went from a life of longing to an eternity of pure satisfaction in those 13 minutes that I was traveling or gone or yeah.
All right, tell me what happened next. We got the life review, we got the voice. What happened next?
So I was confronted with a void, the void. And I can't tell you if it was light or dark, this part, because there was no light or dark, really. I remember the last part of Sean that was there to witness this void was like, oh, this is it. Oh my gosh. Like, it's nothing, man. This is, like, I was told there was at least something, or I was at least told that I wouldn't be here to see the nothing. And then it became orange, glowing, warm, orange.
Just everything, like the atmosphere, the ground.
Yeah, something between like liquid plasma, I don't know. It's just, it was spirit in this realm. It was just, and again, orange is the way that I'm just like, just surrendered to the experience and orange. That's how I pieced it together as I came back. But the, you know, it was more of a sensation, a knowing, an all-knowing. It was all colors. It was all things, light, dark, right, wrong, a place beyond duality. And the only actual discernible force was pure love. And that pure love in itself was awareness and a singular consciousness that had one mission, and that was just to love more, more, bigger, bigger. And then I almost immediately had an understanding of all things, always, ever, how the universe was created, how everything works. Because I was no longer Sean, I was God. I returned to the creator consciousness. It was absolute perfection.
Of all of those things, how much of that do you remember? Do you remember how the universe was created, for example?
Yeah, some of it. I'll try. There was one. The one created two, so one could love the other and know the other. So love could know thyself and love thyself deeper. From the two, there was polarity. And this polarity created forces of disharmony and duality. And from that duality, creation itself emerges. And in that creation is chaos, cataclysm, horror, darkness, and light, glory, creation, perfection, joy. And then from there, I think we can, that's the three, then the creation story, you know. And this was all like, I mean, so much information so quickly, and it was just immediate awareness of it, immediate ownership of it, appreciation for thyself, ourselves. And I know this is very wordy, and I know it may not make a lot of sense to a lot of people listening. And I think that there's a reason why a lot of people that you see these videos of are septuagenarians and stuff, because it's going to take the rest of my life to figure this out. But this is my mission. It's part of it. So I just want to thank you for having me here now to work this out. And I'm ready.
Okay. Well, then I have another question for you to think about.
Yeah.
Okay. In case you haven't thought about this yet, did you feel like you were getting this, I can't remember, did you call it a knowledge dump? Like all of this was coming to you really quickly. When you really think about it, was it all brand new coming to you? Or is this all stuff you already knew and it was like the blinders were being taken off?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a remembering. It was a knowing. And I will say, like, whatever happened over there and whatever I did learn, there was a sense when I started to regain integrating back into me. I was like, oh, you knew that. You knew that before you were born. You knew the whole time. Like, there was always a part of you that felt that and knew that. And everyone else feels and knows that. And that's because this singularity is what we are. These people that you're honking at in traffic, or these people that you're, you know, fans that you're saying, I love you to, like, for better or worse, everyone is you, is God. We are all one. And in a world where we are programmed and for obedience, and just in a dimension of duality, where there is light and there is dark, of course, that's our programming. But that craving for unity, for the two to become the one, that craving for love, even the craving that we have and the inclination of polarity to judge, to condemn, to fight each other, that is all just the creation story happening within us. When I was over there, I did not experience, any ascended masters, spirit guides, anything like that. I didn't see my grandma, but I became all of that at once. And when you become all the grandmas in the world and Yeshua and all of the people and things that have ever happened ever, it is the most tremendous, healing, exalting, beautiful experience there could be. And I wouldn't choose any other heaven if I had a choice.
I love all the adjectives. Love is one that keeps coming up a lot. And I believe you even said pure love. Please try to dig deeper and describe that for anyone that hasn't felt it. We've got to relate it to something in life. So see if you can do that.
Okay, so pure love. Let me break this down. So I believe pure love would have to be love devoid of duality. So no matter what you do or say, for better or worse, good, bad, beautiful, ugly, light, dark, I love you. And a lot of people don't experience that. But we do experience being loved like that for even a brief amount of time from our mothers or fathers, until conditions are placed on that love. But just imagine the best moment you ever had with your mom. Imagine the way she smelled in that moment, her skin against yours, how you feel in your belly, how you feel in your heart, the way that your breathing might slow down, the inkling that you have to let out a sigh or coo or giggle, and take that small moment and shoot it off into the distance forever and ever and ever and ever. And that's what it felt like. I've done a lot of experimentation with drugs. Nothing comes close. Yeah. It was just pure love. And it was love in a... It was such a pure sensation that nothing could ever have been wrong about my life, anyone else's life. And I'm saying, like, I'm not going to name names, but you guys know the big bad dudes of history. Like, nothing they could have done wrong, because you love them so much. And I loved everyone that much. And I knew everyone. Like, everyone, because they were with me. They were me. Everyone in existence. It was just perfect.
It's hard to comprehend all that, but thank you for trying to describe it. There's always some people out there that don't believe stuff. Okay? They may say, not to your face, behind your back, oh, it was drugs, or he was unconscious, so he was dreaming, he was hallucinating because of something. How do you know this was different than something like that?
Well, I know because I know, but this is something that couldn't be compared to or conceived of in a dream, not to my knowledge. And to prove whether something is valid or has happened to you really isn't about what other people feel about what you, or what other people think about what you say. It's how it makes them feel.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Was there anything else to this experience, or was that about the end?
So during this experience, there was a call to come back. And that call was, I will say it felt like an eternity. There wasn't time in this situation for me. But the first human sensation or notion that returned to me was, it was like a wind, a breeze that came through this space. And it was a feminine one. And it felt like my partner, Brittany, the women in my life, it was this very feminine call, pullback. And then that's when I was like, oh, I'm remembering my mom. I'm remembering this and that. And then I just came back into my body.
You became Sean again.
Yeah.
As you
and, yeah.
This is a really profound experience, especially for somebody as young as you. How has it changed your life? How is the, is this a Cubs 2.0 now going on?
Yeah, it took, I mean, it's taken so long to integrate. And, you know, I still just get so flustered talking about it. And it's great, it's cute, but, and it could take the rest of my life. But, you know, at first, I would say it was like 6 months of really high vibrational living. Just like, I just felt awashed in God's love and appreciation for life around me. Like my vision was better. I was just like, you know, it was a restart. And then at some point I kind of started to fall asleep again and kind of go back into, you know, duality, judgment, scarcity mindset. I don't know why I'm dancing with that. Like, but it was a downward progression kind of into this place of like, okay, well, that happened. And the things that happened because of that, now you have a decision to make. Like, are you going to hold on to this experience and hold true to the nature of what you know you are? Are you going to treat others now knowing that they are you? You are them, and what y'all are it. Yeah, it changed my music. The first song back was kind of, you know, the first few albums back were just me reintegrating this experience, trying to suss it out, describe it. I started making some videos here and there. You know, I lost weight. But the biggest life change came from this very feminine pullback, you know, the thing that anchored me back into this reality. And I think these are part and parcel. These are pretty common with NDEs. Sometimes people make a choice. They're given a, you know, there was no words in mind. There was no conceptualization. So that feminine callback, I found out 24 hours later, my grandma passed away. And we didn't know. My dad just called me and said, hey, she has some pneumonia stuff. We're kind of here at the house. She's not doing too well. And I just said, I'm going to buy a ticket right now. And he was just like, no, don't worry about it. My mom even called me. She's like, don't buy a ticket. We're fine, you know? And I was like, I'm getting one. And she passed in the middle of the night after the afternoon that I got there. And then about 24 hours later, my partner called me and said, we're having a baby. That was that feminine... You got to go back. It's my belief that this experience and this healing and this wake-up call needed to happen in order for my daughter's soul to choose to come hang, come party with us.
I had somebody on the show very recently that was talking about one of the things that she learned in her NDE was about the promises that we made to our children before we came here. And how children actually choose their parents before they come here. That kind of ties in with what you're saying here. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. And with my grandma, my whole family too, at her funeral, they were just like, I was like, yeah, I found out the day after. And they were like, what? Like, you know, we tracked it back. She was conceived on 11-11, just a bunch of cool, fun, spiritual stuff. But, you know, one person getting off the train, the next getting on, you know, it could be her. Could be my grandma I'm raising. but it was utterly life-changing. And I had to, at some point, decide, you need to make this change your life. This isn't something that you're just going to walk out of and be like, new lease on life, because, you know, that will fade. And it did. So yeah, I'm going to go on the internet and talk about this. This is what my songs are going to be about now. This is what I'm going to bring to the world, because if I could remind just one person of what they already know, what they already really, really know for a moment, that is beautiful medicine. The purpose of creation is to love. If God, okay, I've been saying, if God were a noun, it would be love. And if God were a verb, that verb would be create. Maybe that's just my frame of reference because I'm a creator. I make music, but we really all are. And when you do create something, you know, when you have your first child, like that's a love that, you know, love is creation. It is God.
Yeah, it's hard to explain. I'm going to ask you a personal question. You don't have to answer it if you don't want to. But a lot of people after their NDEs, the new version of them, the 2.0, their partner, their spouse, their whoever liked the old one better. And things don't work out. I'm hoping you're going to tell me there's a happy ending and you're still together with this person.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm really glad to hear that.
Too, man.
All right. We're going to wrap up. Is there anything else you want to share?
I would just like to express to the good people listening that you are not separate from the things that you want to be, do, and have. You are not separate from the life that you want to live. You are not separate from God. You're not less than anything. And I see you. And I love you.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how much fear do you have of death?
0.
I can't believe you had to think about it that long, but I'm glad you did.
I think near-death experiences, not dissimilar to medicines like ayahuasca and, you know, the spirit medicines, they cure two things: the fear of death and atheism. And this definitely did that for me.
All right. Thanks a lot, Cubs. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you for having me, brother.
Thanks again for listening and sharing this podcast. Don't forget to hit the follow or subscribe button and sign up for our newsletter at roundtripdeath.com. If you want to share your near-death experience, or if you have questions or comments about the show, send an email to eric@roundtripdeath.com. Until then, I wish you everything good that you're looking for in this life and the next.